Greetings and welcome to Star Center Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight on Hercules and the Space Gods, I'm proud to bring you Unarian Revelations. Our guests are Unarians Tracy and Kevin Kennedy, and our topic is finding your soulmate. That is an awesome topic. Greetings and welcome.
Hi, Hercules.
Hey, Hercules.
I'm doing great, and I'm very happy to be speaking with you. It's been a while.
Yes, it has. Everything going well?
As well as can be. We all have our challenges, and I have mine. So nothing bad to report, though.
Good.
How about with you guys?
Doing great.
That is fantastic. And this is a great topic that you picked. And again, if there are soulmates out there, you and Kevin certainly are.
Well, the thing that I always, the reason why I picked this topic is because it's filled with so much weird concepts and thoughts and mysticism and superstition. And I think a great deal of just misconcept. So the idea in mind for this is to maybe give people a more realistic view of what that means and how it can influence us all in a positive way, and how we can actually learn to develop our own consciousness so that when we do, and if we do meet that soulmate, that it's going to be a much more positive and constructive evolution forward, versus filled with all kinds of misconcept and dead ends. So it's a very interesting topic. It's an abstract topic, and one that can be cleared up a little bit.
I'm looking forward to your presentation.
So the first thing that as Unarians we've learned is that each and every one of us is not singular in themselves as a being, but that we have a other half, as it were, or a soulmate, a bayoun, person
twin
that flame. Will. Sorry?
They're calling them twin flames now as well, I noticed.
Yes, there's many terms, and yes, that is definitely one of them. And the whole purpose of this is so that we can develop as a soul, and that we have a polarity that we can work with in our evolutionary journey that will provide a perspective that we need, and we provide them a perspective. But one of the misconceptions I think that is so prevalent in today's society, especially in the New Age movement, is this idea that they were born and they are perfect, and when they come together with you, you both will be perfect, and that is it. And it's kind of at odds with the reality that this is someone that develops with you. It's not just born, mm-hmm. but develops, you know, and something that happens over an evolutionary period of time that, you know, you can have a soulmate, quote unquote, a twin flame, if you want to call it that. But if you are not a good person, it's not going to instantly make you a good person. If you're not intelligent, it's not going to immediately make you intelligent. There's just a lot of misconcept about it. It's not like you meet your soulmate and all of a sudden you are elevated to this level of archangel or something. So these are the concepts that I hope we are going to be able to clear up tonight, that this whole interaction with another person is one where we are given the opportunity to grow as a human being and as an evolutionary spirit, and also that we provide that background for that other person to grow as well. Yet there's also, along with this concept, a misconcept of feeling that if I'm alone or I'm lonely, that if I find this other person, my life will be perfect. And the reality is if you are alone and lonely, you want it that way. And no other person is going to complete you if you're carrying around all these problems, emotions, the inhibitions, the insecurities that each one of us has developed through many different lifetimes in the societies that we've lived through. So if you want a more happy life and you want to, quote-unquote, meet your soulmate or be involved with someone, even if it's not your soulmate, if you want your your interactions with your partners to be that much better, it behooves anyone to really understand and study the principles that's taught in Unary about how each one of us can discharge the negative qualities or problems that we've developed through these different lifetimes, and that's going to open up the door to have much more positive and fulfilling relationships. Don't you think, Trace?
Well, yeah, and one of the things I was going to say that goes along with this misconception is a lot of people and some students along the way have said, oh, well, I won't be happy until I meet my soulmate or until I'm with my soulmate or, you know, my volume, my polarity. And there's definitely a interdimensional concept that Kevin was talking about with this idea. But no one person or soul is going to make another person happy. That's something that, as Kevin was saying, it comes from within in your own development. And, you know, a true relationship with anybody, whether it's your soulmate or not, is where there's you're coming from your higher self and you're learning, and what you dislike or are not sure about yourself, you learn from that other person about yourself in a true and honest and sometimes deflating way. And you contribute to each other in a way where you're helping each other grow, but not coming from a personal ego of, I want to help you and I can save you. No, if I want to learn about myself and how can I do that and what can I learn from you, and that other person will reflect different aspects about yourself that you may find repulsive, and this person helps you to see that, but not in a condescending way, in a helpful spiritual way. So it's a real opportunity for growth. And I know in the write-up about this talk tonight, it was mentioned that Kevin and I have been together for 31 years and we're examples. We don't even know that we're each other's soulmates. We just know that we've learned a lot from each other, and we both have grown tremendously together and also individually as students of progressive evolution. So the importance is not that you per se find your soulmate or declare that that's the only way you're going to be happy. It's that you're continuing to grow as a soul, the soul's nature, and accept responsibility for your personal growth. That's up to you. But being with another person that can serve as polarity or help in an honest and reflective way does help your soul of growth.
Those are very important points. And yes, if you're an unhappy person, falling in love and resonating with another human being might feel good for a while. But if you're mired in negative thoughts and perform actions that will be a turnoff to anybody, you're not going to stay in that relationship very long. Relationships take work and a lot of cooperation to meet life's challenges. And you don't magically complete.
Yes. And you know, in the process of relationships, and anybody who's been in a relationship for any length of time knows, it requires giving and honesty, a maturity, and gratitude for being with that other person. And in that process of being outgoing in a positive and loving way, we then learn how to be selfless and develop that spark, that inner spark that all of us have. We're able to fan that and grow even more. But, yeah, two unhappy people don't make one happy person.
No.
And, you know, so one of the things that Uriel said to us as students over and over again at the center, and that I really took to heart and learned from, is that, you know, if you want a friend, be a friend. And if you want to have a healthy, loving, wonderful relationship with another person, you can't approach it from a selfish point of view, that it requires being a friend, giving and accepting and loving. And as Tracy was saying, in that process, which you know as well, because you're in a loving relationship, those issues and the emotionalism are always going to come up. But the difference is with what we have studied at Unarius, we have the opportunity when those things come up, rather than look at them as a reason to stop the relationship, it's an opportunity then for me as a person to grow and to understand, why am I having this reaction to this? Is it valid? Am I coming from a selfish point of view? Am I just thinking about my own needs and wants and not what this other soul needs as well to give us both a much more positive, constructive relationship.
That's very true. And a willingness to listen, because we have a particular view of reality inside our head, and it doesn't necessarily mean that that'll be the same view of reality in the other person's head. And there are different ways of looking at the world. There are different ways of experiencing the world, and you have to grant the people that you're with in any type of relationship the right to have their own world. You really luck out if someone shares many outlooks of the world that you're sharing. It makes things a lot easier, but you can learn from anybody. It's a topic in Greek mythology or Greek philosophy. I don't remember where I heard this story, but I heard it when I was a child, that men and women were initially one entity, and they rebelled against the gods. So the gods split the entity in half, and this way it would waste a big part of its life looking for its other half, and they wouldn't have the energy or the drive to defy the gods. So there's another one.
Well, that's an interesting parable or story there, and I guess that's one of the things that we want to take a step back and away from is this idea that, because again, it goes to that whole point of, okay, this is going to make us pure if we were together or something along those lines. What you said, and it's so true, is that everybody has their own little world that they're carrying with them. You know, wherever we go, we are like a planet. We're carrying our atmosphere with us. And so into relationships, if that atmosphere is polluted, it's not going to develop a positive relationship. It's going to amplify, possibly, the problems that both people have. We need to become, and that's the thing that is, when you're feeling, as I was young, as a younger man, lonely and feeling insecure and wanting to have somebody in my life, I found myself grasping in being in relationships that weren't healthy. And just so I could get out of this sense of loneliness. But what I found as I was in those is that they weren't feeding the best part of myself. Instead, I was giving away the development that I had or the standards that I wanted to live my life by, and just to be in a relationship. So it was learning for myself that, you know what, it doesn't mean that I'm a better person and that person is a worse person, but anything like that. It's just that I want to be involved with somebody who is on a positive trajectory as well. And if that is the case, then we both can, you know, fan the flame between us and build that wonderful energy, constructive, loving energy. And it's something that can be a challenge for someone who is still mired in the insecurities of their own consciousness and from their past lives. And it's difficult to break free of that feeling of, you know, I'm never going to find my quote unquote soulmate. Well, you're never going to find a soulmate while you're constantly looking for them.
Yes, that's very true. I fell into that trap when I was younger, and I know many people who have fallen or are still in that particular trap. That when you're with one particular person, they're going to make your life perfect, and you'll be like in nirvana all the time.
Absolutely, and it's a concept that needs to be done away with because it just isn't there. And as anybody knows, the best relationships that come to us have come to me is the ones where I have a friend that I'm, you know, that it develops with, and we have a journey together, but we're also developing things apart so that we can share the positive, constructive things that we're involved with. And that is what, you know, because then you're giving, you're enjoying, there's reciprocation in the energy between the two of you. So I'm hoping that we can help someone understand that as we keep talking about this, it's not that you're going to find this miraculous person that's going to make your life perfect. the person that you are interacting with at this very moment is the one that you need to learn the lesson, whatever lesson it is. And it may be the person that, you know, develops into a much more positive one, or it may be the relationship you need to recognize that you need to step away from that type of person and into a much more progressive, constructive frame of mind.
And that's often a difficult lesson to process and to accept. I look back on my relationships in life. Now I'm in my mid to late 60s, so I've had many relationships in life. And I look back, and some of them seem to be there for a negative purpose insofar as when I was going through them, they were negative experience. But then looked at within the context of my whole life, they taught me valuable lessons that changed my life and made it better, even though the relationship itself wasn't very good.
That's a valuable thing to learn. And as you're talking about that, I was thinking back on my life, and it's not just relationships with someone of the opposite sex, it's with friends that I've chosen to be with, girlfriends or other guy friends, and not necessarily a boyfriend or a husband. And you're absolutely right. There's a lot of those people have fallen by the wayside because they're no longer relative to what I'm going through, what they're going through. And there was no give and take, no reciprocity, and I wasn't learning anything from that relationship. And sometimes it was a toxic relationship with a friend that, and we've all experienced this, where they, you know, literally feel like they suck the life out of you when you leave, you're exhausted, you don't know why you spent time with them. Those are all part of the lessons that we need to learn. And one of the things in my relationship with Kevin is that we were friends for years before we became husband and wife. And when we became boyfriend and girlfriend, we decided to get married a month later. And now we've been married 31 years. And it's been hard. But because of our understanding of unarious principles and taking responsibility and really analyzing your thoughts, whenever there has been something that we've disagreed with, we resolve it very quickly. There may be resentment on one part or the other for a couple of days, but it comes out and it gets talked about and it gets discussed. And we always recognize that there's some type of negative past in play that we're reliving. And once we have that awareness, it dissipates and it's gone and it's discharged. And we both have patterns of our personality that we're aware of, you know, that we're both working on trying to change. But there's also patterns of our personality that I admire in Kevin and I learn a lot from. And I can't speak for Kevin, but that's part of that polarity shift is that we're constantly learning from each other.
That's a good example of this. Well, I'd like to share an example if I could, because this is, we come together in relationships so we can learn. You know, we're actually, for the most part, pulled towards the person that we have the most karma with. And so, when we get involved, it can cause, those initial feelings of euphoria. But then, you know, the past life karma between the two souls, between, you know, in this case, Tracy and I, comes to the fore and has to begin to be worked out and resolved. And one of the most dramatic relivings that Tracy and I have had between us is we bought a sailboat together with another couple. And it goes right to one of the paths between Tracy and I. But as we would go sailing on the bay in San Diego, whenever the other couple's husband would take the tiller or the wheel, Tracy was fine. Wouldn't bother her a bit. You know, we'd be sailing along, you know, it was beautiful. The moment I took that tiller or, you know, the wheel of the boat, she would just get nervous and upset and, you know, and, oh, the boat's going to tip over and, you know, we're going to drown. You know, it's just crazy how upset she'd get.
I didn't say those things, and my eyes were wide open like saucers because I was afraid.
So, you know, I mean, at one point, I mean, I'm just, this went on for, gosh, almost a year. And finally, I said, Tracy, you know, we're students of past life therapy. What the hell are you reliving? Well, it came out that, you know, obviously she was reliving drowning, but there was a couple of missing elements there. And one that finally came to the fore was that the reason she freaked out was because she drowned in a past from a boat that sank at sea. Well, who do you think was the captain of the boat that sank at sea? So she was remembering me as being that person that, you know, she drowned because I didn't take care of the boat properly. So this, you know, this reaction that she had was totally valid when you look at it from the perspective of the past life experience that we both went through. And I was, of course, right. I was angry and indignant because I didn't want to accept the deflation that a boat sank under my being the captain. But there it was. It all played itself out. Now, when we had those recognitions, finally, really true, honest recognitions and acceptance of that sequence of events, first of all, I let go of the anger that I had about Tracy being afraid, the totally valid reaction on her part because of what she'd gone through, and was able to say, you know what, here it is. This is something that I'm still carrying around. And one of the reasons that drew us together is one of these negative experiences that we're trying to resolve and discharge in this lifetime. So I had my recognition. Tracy had her recognition that she was fearful when she went underwater and drowned. And what that meant to her, she didn't have an understanding of the continuity of life. And so there were several factors in her recognition that, that she had to overcome. And when we both did, immediately the whole reason for having the boat disappeared. We didn't want to have any, could care less about the boat anymore. We're able to let it go. But the most important thing was, is that our relationship became better and stronger because I wasn't still carrying around that feeling of inadequacy or deflation for having been a part of a situation where she drowned. And she wasn't carrying around the resentment towards me of having been that captain that was so arrogant that, took the boat into a situation where it would have the possibility of going under. So that's the type of thing and the understanding, the power of realizing that you've lived before, and this is these past life experiences draw you to that other person that once you discharge them, make your life and your situation and your relationship so much better because you're freeing yourself out of the weight of that previous energy. And this is really, you know, instead of constantly searching for a soulmate that's going to make your life perfect, you understand, as we were just talking about, relationships are a way that we learn and grow as a person. And you take a much more healthy attitude towards it, it's going to discharge the illusion or that wrong attitude of I got to find this person, perfect person that's going to make me perfect, and really understand that, you know, this is a way that I can grow, but it can be painful, but at the same time it's the most rewarding thing in the world.
Another aspect to add to the story, because it was pretty traumatic for both of us at the time, and this was 25 years ago, but when we were going through this, and we probably went sailing about once or twice a month with this other couple, and I always loved being on the water. I grew up on a lake, out in boats all the time. Never afraid, always had a great time until the sailing experience. And I even had taken sailing in high school as a class, and I did horrible because I didn't understand the concept. And I was afraid then, but, you know, we got the sailboat, like, oh, this is great being out on the water. But I would always get afraid when Kevin was sailing. And finally, for about a year, Kevin said, and finally, at, you know, about 6 months, Kevin looked at me and said, Tracy, you're a student of past life therapy. Figure out what you're reliving, because you're reliving something. Okay, and I felt deflated. I know when I write my journal, okay, I know I'm reliving drowning because I'm afraid every time we go out in the water, but I don't know what it is. So one day we came home from sailing, and I laid down and took, you know, kind of like a step out. And as I was coming out of that, the hypocognic state, I had this very real psychism of seeing myself going off the boat and drowning. And that experience of seeing, you know, I was reliving that drowning experience and seeing other people on the surface who were still alive, and I couldn't survive. And as I sunk to my death, I had this tremendous fear because I, as Kevin said, I did not understand the continuity of life. And I woke up and went, oh, now I understand why I've been so fearful, because I didn't understand the continuity of life. So that happened, and I'm not kidding. Within like a week or two, we went to go back to go sailing with our friends, and we came down, and the friends kind of looked at us and said, we'd owned this boat together for like a year and a half, 2 years. And the friends looked at us and said, you know, you guys don't seem like you're that interested in owning the boat anymore. You know, if you want to, so saw your part. We have somebody else who's interested. We both looked at each other and went, okay, that sounds good to us. And we were done. And we, not that we haven't wanted to go sailing again, we did end up going sailing about 15 years later on the, what's that boat, the Star?
Oh, the Stars and Stripes.
Yeah, the one that sails in the
America Cup.
And we both had the time of our life, and I was not afraid at all. And that was just, you know, more validation of my overcoming of that past. But it's, as Kevin said, it's just, when you have those experiences, and that's a very powerful one for both of us, it just helps reinforce what we have to learn from each other in different scenarios of being in a relationship.
And it seems like Unarian understandings add a whole new dimension to that aspect of life. And that's a very big aspect in life.
It really does, because it gives depth and meaning to reactions that, you know, from the outside may look completely irrational. As you're talking about this, when Tracy would get upset when I took that wheel of that sailboat, I mean, there was nothing happening. I mean, rationally, there's no reason for her to get upset or to be fearful on the surface in this lifetime. But now you start searching, going back in consciousness and understanding, oh, there's a continuity here. Now it starts making sense. So, again, we're brought together to resolve all of the, you know, karma that we've incurred with this other person. And, you know, of course, there's love and there's joy you know, it's wonderful, but it's also, there's this other thing that if you understand that it's a process of also discharging interactions that we've had together from the past, now you're not going to get so caught up in, oh, it's got to be all positive and not be aware of there's more here for me to resolve. And if I can do that, when I do that, it makes it so much better. And, you know, these things happen not just in physical things we do, but there's one good recognition I had where, you know, each one of us has spirit guides that works with us, and we are in contact with higher dimensions. And of course, the understanding of the soul is directly proportional to who he is working with on these inner planes of light. But I had an awareness when, this was probably 5 or 6 years into our marriage, that I woke up in the morning and I had a dream where Tracy and I were standing just at the base of this hill, and we were looking out at the horizon, and I could see the actual land itself almost it was buckling coming towards us, almost like a wave coming towards us. The whole earth itself is just coming up like a wave, like a 30-foot tall wave. And Tracy asked, you know, oh, what should we do? And I said to her, oh, don't worry, it's way down there. And literally within the half a second that I said that, it was on us and it killed us.
Ooh.
So that was an experience we had both had together, and also added to my awareness of why and what I was doing in this lifetime in my involvement with Tracy, as I was trying to make up again for a lifetime where I think I was in charge of taking care of her, you know, in my consciousness, whether I was a father in that lifetime or a brother or a husband. But again, a death that happened and the shock that incurred within both of us. And it was a big releasement when I had that, and even talked to Tracy about it, releasement of emotion for me to admit, understand, see that was another, you know, piece of this puzzle of our relationship of why we are pulled together and maybe causing a stress between us. So this understanding of that we've lived before and having the principles of Unarius to utilize in the process of deciphering those experiences, that you just can't, there's just not enough words to say how wonderful it is, because now we don't have to hold on to those pasts. And we don't have to hold on to who we've been. We can grow together. And that's the wonderful thing.
That is a wonderful thing. Tracy, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, I agree with everything that's Kemba said, and he and I don't remember more of the specifics, but he's had that awareness of that lifetime he just talked about was another lifetime in Atlantis, where Atlantis was declining and the same thing happened. So I don't know if it was the same lifetime, but I know you've had that subsequently. So there's been more than one awareness that he's had about him feeling like he wasn't protecting me and us losing our lives and him feeling responsible. And it's just, it's been very, very eye-opening with understanding of our relationship back and forth of what's happened to each of us. And it's, as Kevin says, it's just so wonderful to have these principles to pry into where these different feelings or emotions or negative reactions that we have, that they all have a continuity from the past and they affect us today. And when we have that understanding and that release, then we have a healing, and it just it raises your vibration, and there's more peace and love in our relationship.
And I can say there's also more freedom, because as you discharge this stuff, the security with who you are and your love for that other person allows you to. It's not a thing where it binds you more to that person. It's something that gives you more freedom and air, if you want to call it that, between you. Where I appreciate Tracy's expressions and her wanting to develop her art and love and fan that. I want to see her do that as much as she wants to. And at the same time, my involvement with getting videos done at Unary Center and making new programs and all the things that I'm involved with in a creative way, she loves my involvement in doing that as well. Now, and we don't have to do them together at all. Matter of fact, it adds to the joy that we have when we come together, is this opportunity that we take to develop our own consciousness, to develop that contact with our higher self. And it's just a different mindset that helps with the understanding that real love is not what we've been taught. It's not gooey, it's not syrupy, it's not everything is perfect. Real love is growth and constructive awareness and developing that your higher self. And then, you know, the more we develop our higher self, the more we can give of that impersonal, pure love, intelligence, appreciation, gratitude, and selfless learning. So it's goes beyond what some of the misconceptions, so much of the misconceptions that have been perpetrated, especially in the New Age movement. And we talk about twin flames. Most of us on planet Earth are maybe twin sparks. You know, if we're fortunate, we're twin sparks, but I don't think much about that twin flame thing. So...
It's become very fashionable. It's the in thing spiritually now, it seems. There's a lot of YouTube videos on it, and it comes up in conversations a great deal. So it's part of what people are learning now, I guess.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So one of the things Kevin was just... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, so one of the things Kevin was talking about is that in our relationship, we've both been trying to fan the other person's flame and really appreciate and learn from the creative expression. And Kevin is very, very creative. He has been his whole life. And when he, you know, started studying in areas, he just blossomed. And, you know, he was always an artist, and his art is phenomenal. He's created all this inspirational cosmic art. And he's worked on videos, and he started an art business 31 years ago. And I always wanted to, and I was always very creative, but I haven't pursued it to the degree that he has. And part of me was very jealous of that, and part of me, you know, thought that, oh, I should just be able to open up and be creative and it will come through. And what I've had to learn in watching Kevin and living with Kevin is he's worked at this for not only in this lifetime, but in many, many other lifetimes. He's developed this through his hookup with his higher self. He was a, not that this matters, but he was a famous portrait painter in a lifetime in the 1500s as Hans Holbein. And so he has this development. And one of the things that I realized, oh gosh, 25 years ago, 20 years ago, is I had a lifetime where I was an apprentice under him. And wanted to learn how to paint, and I ended up stealing his art and trying to sell it off as art that I had done. And it was very deflating when I accepted that and realized that, because he's taught me a lot how to do art in this lifetime in our business. And it's been something that I've had to recognize, that this comes from this development, this hookup, and this creative process comes from a hookup to your higher self, but it also requires practice. And it doesn't just one day you wake up and you're this miraculous artist,
right,
or this miraculous creative person. There's a development there. So that's something that I really have appreciated about Kevin, and learning and watching how he makes that attunement process almost every day in something creative. And it so in that way, I have grown a lot, because it's helped me to recognize that's the only way I'm going to get better at doing anything is by trying and doing it and being open to my higher self and trusting that I have a higher self. So there's wonderful aspects of our relationship, or any relationship, where you're able to learn and grow from each other.
That is very true, and that is very important. Athena and I have been together, married for 21 years, and we were together for a couple of years before we got married. And we found that encouraging each other's unique expression is better than trying to do things together. We do things together. We do a lot of things together, but we also have our own things that we're doing. So we encourage our ways of doing things and the things that we're involved with, even though they're not the same. And a lot of people try to keep that sameness, as you said, and you know that is very straining if you're trying to hold somebody back from their own unique creative self-expression. So we grant each other that. I also found that doing some very simple things helps in a relationship with anybody, not just your twin flame or your other half. It's listen when the person's talking. Even if you're preoccupied with something else, leave that something else down and listen to what the person's saying. If you're not agreeing, try to see it from their point of view. Be appreciative of anything anybody does for you. I'm very appreciative of everything Athena does, and I spend some time in meditation, either first thing in the morning or last thing during the day, expressing appreciation for all the wonderful things in my life, including, you know, Athena, and especially Athena. And those are simple things, and we're not going to agree all the time. We're not going to see things the same way. But that other perspective is helpful sometimes in getting you get over a limitation in your own thinking or in your own feeling. So I'm always open to that. And I find that those simple things make the relationship better.
You know, they absolutely do, Hercules. And in the process of listening to somebody else, and this is something that I was talking about earlier, and in my mind, can't stress enough with anybody who asks me about relationships and what makes them healthy, is the awareness that with our involvement with that other person, they're providing a mirror to us. And the way that they see things, they're giving us an opportunity to look at ourselves in ways we just can't, you know, because we're in phase with our own emotions, ourselves, and the way we've done things. And so it's an opportunity in this relationship to have a mirror of who we are and what we are put to our consciousness. And if you know, they say something that causes a tremendous reaction, there it is. That's the time to then do the homework and say, well, where is this coming from? But as you were saying earlier, too, there's just in common interactions with this other soul, being appreciative, being grateful, thanking that other person for their spending time with, in my case, with me, and knowing that, you know, I'm not the easiest person to be around, that's for sure. But I do my best to make certain those times that we are together, that they carry love and giving of self, and not looking at the relationship as what am I going to get out of this, but looking at it as an expression of joy in my journey with this wonderful person. So, being able to listen, learning those lessons and the involvement with that other person, and realizing that when the reactions come up, it's an opportunity for me to grow and do that by stepping back and seeing, you know, what is this showing me that I have, that I don't understand about myself yet. And it's just a great opportunity to become a better human being by being involved in a relationship. And the more that, and like you were saying earlier, the more I look back on the relationships I was in that quote unquote didn't work out, they were actually perfect because it was an opportunity for me to recognize and realize what I had to grow from, you know, where I was and what I need to grow and let go of and become a better person. And then knowing that, okay, as I've gone through these different situations and relationships, learned that what was of real value to me and what I had to let go of and what was problems that I was bringing into the relationship that I was self-sabotaging because I was carrying all this other garbage with me that was not allowing the relationship to grow. And then, so now we get to, okay, now that we're growing and we're becoming freer in our consciousness and more loving and giving with this other person, now we're developing a real polarity, a real, yeah. And so it's just, yeah, it now you're heading towards what that idea of the twin flame or the biune or the soulmate, whatever you want to call it. Now you're moving towards that real understanding and honest awareness of what that can mean and what can happen with that in your life.
I also found that, like, I let go of things that might have been disturbing in my past or were disturbing to me in the past, because when I look at life as a whole, what of it I can see, I see sometimes that a lot of good things in my life would not have happened had I not gone through those experiences. Like even professionally, when I used to work in the human services, I worked for some really horrendous agencies in the human services. Unfortunately, there are some agencies that are horrendous in how they do things and their approach to people and their problems. But after working several places, I decided I can't work in the human services or agencies that are like this way. So I just refused. And immediately I started getting better jobs and much better agencies and started making a lot more money just by refusing to work someplace that didn't respect the humanity of the people that it was supposed to take care of. So that was a great thing in retrospect. It wasn't good when it was happening to me, but it turned out in terms of my life to have been a really good thing. And also in relationships, too, when I look back on relationships that weren't that great, they're to have pushed me to a point where it's like, I'm not getting into a relationship like this again. If I see these red flags, I'm just going to end it, the relationship. And that worked out very well for my life because my relationships were of a higher quality with better people and produced much better memories and lessons. So not everything bad is bad in the long run, and not everything good is good in the long run too. Sometimes your perspective shifts.
That's a really good point. And I think that if we're honest, you can look at that throughout our whole life. An example that came to mind, we were talking about the places that you work, was in the business that Kevin and I had. We struggled so long financially, and we had so much guilt with our customers of stealing from them, of just not treating them well, and so many awarenesses that we've had over the years. But one of the things that we had to learn was we had a lot of customers that would take advantage of us and take abuse of us and beat us up for pricing and just be nasty to us. And we had to learn several times and on a couple of big occasions to say, no, we don't want you as a customer anymore. No, we aren't going to do that. And when we did that, we had one situation that was horrible. And we ended up paying the customer back $10,000 to just go away because they were so nasty. Wasn't worth fighting with them. They were just nasty people. And all the employees were in shock that we did that. And the next day, we had a customer that we loved walk in the door and gave us an order for $14,000. Now, it's not about the money. It was the principle that we had to recognize these are people that we've used in the past. We're not doing that anymore. And just go away. And we're sorry we did that in the past, but we can't tell you that in the present. But we know that we're working on changing that energy. And it did. And it made a huge difference in our business. So that's what you talked about is very, very important, that sometimes it doesn't feel like it's a positive thing when you're in the middle of it because it felt awful. But then letting it go and saying, it doesn't matter. I know when one door closes, another one's going to open. And there's a very valid principle. We're changing the energy from the past with something present and positive and more loving and kind.
In that yes. sense, you become more selective. You know, you're more selective mm-hmm. with your choices. And in your case, we're talking about relationships. I've become more selective in recognizing I have feelings of love and appreciation for other people that I meet, but that doesn't mean that I necessarily want to take them out to dinner.
Right.
And recognizing, you know, okay, I have to be protective also and aware in my relationships of my own consciousness and making sure that I honor that attunement that I've developed with my higher self. So, again, you know, we're talking about soulmates and what that means. And soulmates begin as relationships that we have with another person. And so we want to learn, which we talked about, we did, each one of us here talking about it, went through relationships and learned that, okay, this isn't the type of situation I want to be in. I do not, yes, I have karma with these other people, but that doesn't mean I have to stay in that scenario. I can walk away from that knowing that, okay, it's time for me to move forward, to make a step forward in my life. So relationships are a work in process. It's constant development that takes place if we are being progressively minded. And that's what I want to be. And I know that's what Tracy wants to be. And I know that's what you want to be. We want to be progressively minded in our interactions with other people so that we can bring the best to them. And that means, you know, bringing an attunement, an alignment with our higher self to those situations. And bringing love, impersonal love, infinite love, not a love where they're going to have to do something for me, but a love where I appreciate and see that spark within them, and I'm still moving forward. Doesn't mean I have to do anything else with them, but I'm moving forward in my consciousness, in my relationships.
That is very true, and you can have relationships with organizations, too. For instance, I love Unarius, and I love the Unarians that I've met through Unarius. And my relationship with the organization has been longer than almost any other relationship that's been in this particular lifetime. I don't know everything. I don't think I ever will in this lifetime. I don't have enough time to read and study everything. But Unarius has been there for me, and it's one of the few organizations I belong to. I don't belong to very many organizations. But I've always enjoyed interacting with the Unarians and experiencing the information and the techniques that are shared in the books or through the videos. And I consider that a very positive relationship. And again, I am not somebody who is organizationally oriented, or I don't really identify with very many organizations. But everyone in my life that knows this part of me, the spiritual part of me, knows that I think very highly of Unarius, and that I have my shelves of Unarius books and videos and things like that. And that, you know, and the nature of the relationship changes. When I first started interacting with Unarius beyond just reading things or watching things, I started reviewing some of the books, and that was how the relationship started. And over decades, where the relationship is. And again, it's a joyous journey.
It really is. It really
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it's been wonderful getting to know you over the years, because I remember interacting with you, I think it was in the 90s, about the reviews
yeah.
for the book that you did.
And the one thing that, you know, I think we all of us, and it's so difficult to, well, not difficult to explain, it may be difficult for people to conceive, but in our interactions with the Unarius and Newton, studying that we have, our lives have become that much better and much more fulfilling. And, I understand that, you know, my life is what I make it. And if I'm having issues, I now have the tools to do something about it. And just having that perspective makes all the difference in the world in how I'm able to approach my day-to-day living. So, yeah, it's something that I enjoy sharing.
And I enjoy providing a platform and helping people learn about Unarius, because I think very highly of Unarius, and I've certainly benefited from it, and I believe that others can benefit from it also.
Well, we appreciate you providing that platform. It's been fantastic. So did we have covered everything that we needed to cover tonight in talking about soulmates and this idea of people coming together, what it really means to any of us on planet Earth? I think in my mind we've talked about the need for the taking away the curtain of magic or mysticism, or and start to understand that a soulmate is developed, and it's a process each one of us is going through to become a better person. And in that process, we make our choices become much more selective, and then we therefore are starting to meet and greet and be involved with people who are more progressively minded as well. So, as we talked about it in the beginning, are Tracy and I soulmates? I have no idea. And I don't approach my life like that. I approach my life, I love and appreciate and enjoy being around and spending time with this person. Now, when we leave this physical world and we go to the other side, we may look at each other and say, oh, well, of course we're soulmates. Or we may look at each other and say, you know what? This is something we set up to do on the inner planes to work out and really learn more about ourselves, and look how much further we are along because we're able to do that together. But I don't know, and I don't want to approach my life, pining away for a soulmate. Rather, let me develop these beautiful, wonderful, strengthened, constructive relationships. And that's from that, we'll have a much more happy, positive life.
And I approach it the same way in our relationship, is it doesn't really matter to me if Kevin is my soulmate, but he's my soulmate right now in this lifetime, but is it my ultimate destiny? I don't know. And it doesn't bother me that I don't know. But I will say there is information about biunes and polarities throughout Unarius text, and in particular in the infinite concept of cosmic creation. If somebody wanted to read more about what Ernest L. Norman, the co-founder of Unarius, how he describes it. It's explained other places as well, but I think we did a good job of providing an overview of this. Not
yes,
a mamby pamby, your life is going to be better when you find your soulmate and search for that person. No other person is going to make you happy and make you a spiritual person. You have to earn that on your own.
And I connected with Athena after I had decided in my life, after reviewing all my relationships, that I'm no longer looking for any soulmates or missing halves or people that have to complete me or compliment me in some way, that I gave up looking for that. And I gave up on the relationships too, even seeking out relationships, just leave myself open to what happens in the universe. And that's when Athena came into my life.
Yeah, that's great.
Then we discovered we crossed paths numerous times since childhood, but we didn't know that.
Wow.
So I agree with what you're saying, and I could understand it, and it is a powerful thing. It's like when you decide you're not going down a particular path anymore, leaving yourself open to what is the best and not worrying about it. Amazing things happen with that as well. How can people find out more besides the infinite concept of cosmic creation? Are there videos on it on the website? Is there information that they can read?
You know what? I don't believe there's a specific video about soulmates on our website. But if they do go through the Unarius Library, there's lots of chapters on soulmates, whether it's in Tempus Presidium is one of the texts, I believe, that has a chapter on soulmates. And then, as Tracy said, Infinite Concept of Cosmic Creation, there's portions of chapters the moderator talks specifically about how your soulmate has developed. It isn't just born, but is developed over lifetimes.
I think it might be lessons 10 or 11. And all those videos, all those chapters from Infinite Concept of Cosmic Creation, Kevin has made several students have, and Kevin has worked on them more recently, upgrading them. They're all available on our Vimeo
Yeah, on our Vimeo channel, they've been made. The original lectures have been made into videos that you can watch. So you're listening to the moderator discuss and talk about these different concepts and lessons, and we have provided visuals to represent what he is talking about. So they're up on Vimeo if you want to watch them there as well, our Vimeo channel.
Our Unarius website is the best place for people to start, which is unarius.org, and there's a wealth of information there. And anybody's welcome to contact the center, give us a call, email us, attend a class. We have special classes throughout the year. We have workshops on past life therapy. We have creativity workshops, and we have different events throughout the year as well that people can attend, or learn more about Unarius. And if they have a specific question about a soulmate, what it is, they can also email us and ask, and we'll be happy to answer.
I have a new show that I'm starting that's based on creativity or focusing on creativity. Lonnie's on the list. Also, I'd love to put both of you down on that list so you can talk about your company and how your art developed and how you use it to create a more creative and a better world.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
And we'll try to get you in touch with a fellow by the name of Douglas Taylor as well. Who is a student of the Unarius and has done some fantastic artwork and has a wonderful perspective on it. So, I'll ask him as well if he'd be interested. So,
thank you.
I'd love to participate.
Can you share a little bit about how people can contact you with your company?
Oh, our company. Well, that's not the reason we're here, but
but you're creative and you've taken creativity and you've applied it in life to develop yourself and to improve our world. So if anybody wants to find out about that or look into your work, how would they do that? You can just share your website.
You can go to our website, attentiongetters.com, and you'll see stuff there. And again, that is most of what we do now is we started doing very extremely creative things, and then through the years we've kind of morphed into doing more common things, you know, for industrial signage and things like that. That can be very creative, but it's not as wild and fun as we used to do. But then again, we're eating better now, so that's good.
That is definitely good. Thank you so very much. You guys are awesome. I'm very grateful that you're on my path and that I'm on your path, and I've learned a lot from you, and I look forward to that every time we have a conversation. Give my regards to everybody at Unarius, and I look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you very much, Hercules. We appreciate it.
Love it, Hercules. Thank you.
Okay. And thanks to all the people who tuned in, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you called and you're in our queue, or whether you're going to check us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Good night, everybody.